We want to welcome you back to the Word for Life Radio Ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and I'm the counseling pastor and senior citizens pastor. It's always my joy to have folks in the studio with us, and this morning is certainly a special joy because our youngest son and his wife, David and Kim Huffman, are here. They're back in the States just for a few weeks from São Paulo, Brazil area, and normally my wife and I go down to Brazil this time of the year, but they had the opportunity to come up and be a part of our missions conference, and so it is so neat to have them here, have grandchildren that spoil us. We don't spoil grandchildren, right?
No, right. Right.
No, never.
Probably takes you a month to spank the grandpa out of them. A month or two. All right. But anyway, Dave and Kim are in their third term, but how many years?
About 13 and a half.
13 years. And a half years in Brazil. And they have just had a tremendous opportunity to be in church planting. And that simply means discipleship. That just means one-on-one relationships, doesn't it?
That's right.
And so as we think about God's work in your life, David and Kim met years ago. In fact, my first Sunday as pastor of Gilead Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia, was Kim's family's first Sunday as they moved to town. I wouldn't say it was love at first sight. Maybe
no.
Second sight.
Second sight.
But then a long-lasting relationship through junior high, senior high. And then, Kim, you were just a few months older, went off to Maranatha a year earlier. And I think other than one day, David wrote you every day.
That's right.
And so he wanted to make sure the other college guys didn't get to you, right?
You know, that's right.
Surprised you didn't fall in love with a mailman, you know, who delivered the mail every day. But when, Kim, was it that missions became either a part of your thinking or open to missions?
Well, for me, it was my freshman year at college, mm-hmm. and David wasn't there yet. And we were having actually a missions conference at college, and several missionaries had come in. And one of the preachers, I don't really remember even who it was, but preached about just being willing to go. And I remember always thinking that I would be willing to go if that's what the Lord wanted. But I really felt like the Lord was wanting me to say that I would be willing to go even if I didn't have a husband, even if I had to go by myself.
Okay.
And I wasn't willing to say that. And so that night, the conviction of the Lord was really on my heart. And I just said, God, I don't know even if this is what you have for me. But if it is what you have for me, and if you don't provide a husband for me, then I will be willing to do this, even if it means that I'll have to go by myself.
Mm.
And that's not what the Lord wanted. But I think he wanted me to be willing to do that.
You know, that was something that God brought me to, just not sure that I was going to be married, and I knew I was going to be serving the Lord in some way, and I had to finally make a decision, Lord, if you want me to be single the rest of my life, if that's the best way I can serve you, then I'd be willing to do that. And then the next 3 or 4 months, I didn't date anybody, and all of a sudden I really got scared.
Like, wow.
Oh, no,
I bet.
He heard my prayer. And I thought, oh, this is bad. But then I finally said, you know, Lord, it's okay. And I think it's when you say it's okay, you know, that basically we put God at the control stick and we pull our hand away and we say, okay, Lord, you're in charge. Well, David, how about for you?
I think for me it was certainly a longer process. A lot of it was exposure to missionaries in our home. You know, Dad mentioned a few minutes ago that the relationship, and so growing up in the pastor's home, had a lot of missionaries through our home and just around the table, getting to know them. Missions was very important in our church and even in our youth group. So I had the opportunity to go to several mission fields, even as a tag-along, I guess, with Dad and Mom, taking youth groups. Or one time we went as a family to St. Vincent, and began to see different mission fields that really opened my eyes to other opportunities. Had heard about some of the countries, I guess, but wasn't really aware of the need, the great need outside of the United States. And had thought about a lot of different opportunities, you know, as a kid, maybe going to the military and then being a scientist and then an athlete, a coach. But God really narrowed it down, I guess, my senior year in high school. missionary from Mexico came into our high school chapel, Christian school chapel, and made a challenge. He said, I really want to challenge all of you students to plan to go to the mission field, but be willing to stay. And I may have heard of that challenge before, but that it really hit me in a different way that particular day, and started to think about that throughout the afternoon as I was on my way home with Dad after sports practice. I asked him, and I said, Dad, you know, this is what the missionary said. You know, what do you think? And I really thought, even though Dad was a pastor, I thought he would say, well, son, it's kind of radical. You know, that's a missionary talk. But he looked at me and he said, I think you ought to pray about it. And as I did, God really placed that in my heart that I should plan to go. And if you shut the door, then maybe I would be a youth pastor and a coach or something else. But throughout college, he continued to open the door for missions, and I really sensed the Lord's direction for that specific calling.
David, I think you mentioned when you were finally leaving for Brazil that you had been on a good number of mission trips, either local as far as in the States or around the world. Do you remember how many trips that was?
Well, I remember going to Mexico as a kid and just the neat experience of meeting other people and being in a, I remember a lady that opened up her home and barely room enough for her family to live themselves, but took our whole group in. I think we probably had 15 to 20.
Right.
And had us in, then going to Canada, Puerto Rico, St. Vincent, the hills of Kentucky, an Indian reservation in Arizona, were certainly some of the trips that stick out in my mind, you know, from those early days.
Well, Kim, did you have opportunities to make mission trips like that as well?
I did not. In high school, we went to Kentucky, and then I also had an opportunity to go to the reservation in Arizona, which was probably the most mission-like work that we went to, because I was surprised. It was my first experience in a reservation, and I had no idea. Really, I had no idea that something like that existed in the United States.
Right.
And it was somewhat heartbreaking to see those people. It was more like a foreign mission field than it was like the United States. And then my next major exposure was when David and I went to Brazil. After we had been married, we took a trip to Brazil, not even knowing that that would be where the Lord would eventually send us. But that was my first time to go to a foreign field, somewhere where they didn't speak English.
That's really tough, isn't it? Somewhere where they don't speak English, and you just kind of smile.
Yes, you totally lose your personality because there's no way to communicate.
And you can crack jokes, and everybody just kind of looks at you like, what?
Right, or they can crack jokes, and everyone laughs, and you just sit there and stare.
Right, right.
Or start laughing as soon as they do.
Yes.
But, you know, when we think about sending teenagers on mission trips, it's really an important thing, like you guys have said, to see the need. In other words, a totally different culture helps you to begin to understand, wow, it's kind of like Jesus said to his disciples, lift up your eyes unto the fields. They're white already unto harvest. And we obviously know that they were there in the area of Samaria, and that culture of the Samaritans was so different from the Jewish people that for Jesus to say that to his disciples, you can imagine their initial response being, I don't think so. Let's get out of here.
Right.
But yet to see a different culture and then to begin to see what God can do. And that's where talking to the missionaries who are there, who have given their lives for that ministry, and for them to just kind of tell some of their stories. And that's kind of what I'd like to hear a little bit about from you guys. You've been in Brazil 13 years, and I'm sure you've got some stories of how God has helped you through some really, really tough times.
There's certainly several. I can think of one that's very personal. Kim and I love children and thought about for a long time having, you know, five children and hope to have them young so that we could be young grandparents and keep up with them in the end. But after several years of waiting, Kim got pregnant. We already had three girls, and Kim got pregnant, and we were excited. You know, the girls were excited, and we were already thinking about just the future with our fourth child. And then it seemed so sudden to us that she lost that baby. And difficult for us in the moment to understand, you know, God, what can we learn? What are you trying to teach us? Why did this happen? And a passage of scripture that I'd heard a lot growing up. But a few verses after that really spoke to me. The verse that was very familiar, of course, Romans 8:28. It says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And as I was reading through that, that's very familiar. And I know that in my mind, God, that you can work it all for our good. But then a few verses after that, in verse 32 of Romans 8, it says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?"
Right.
And I got to really thinking through that verse, and I thought, God, you gave your own son
right
on the cross for us, and how difficult that must have been and what Jesus went through for us. And this is a huge loss for Kim and I, and we don't understand everything, but we can trust you that you will give us all things that you want us to have.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, it was not your will for us to have this fourth child. And that passage really helped us through, especially me, through that experience, and to wait patiently for Mary Kate to come along later, and then for Michael,
right,
our fifth, to come along as well. And God certainly has blessed, and we praise the Lord for it.
And many times it comes back to the control issue, doesn't it? You know, we like to be in control. And so the idea of, okay, will I go to a mission field? Am I willing to go single? That's the control issue.
Yes.
And then which field should I go to? Giving that up to the Lord. And then once you get on a field, there's so many other things that are out of your control. And you just basically say, Lord, this is not what I thought was going to happen. This wasn't my plan. And when you get to a mission field to live, it's a whole lot different than just visiting it on a short-term mission trip, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I know, Kim, you told us about your first time of looking for groceries in the grocery store, and everything's written in Portuguese, and you didn't know Portuguese.
No.
And sometimes the pictures are not the same thing that you see. I heard about a person that bought a can of Crisco, but it had a picture of fried chicken on the front. And so they actually thought when they opened it up, they would find fried chicken in it. Well, that's some of the frustration that you go through. But we have run out of time for this broadcast, and we'll pick it up as we continue. I trust you'll join us again in a couple of days as we talk about what it means to give God total control. It could be that that's a struggle you're going through yourself right now, my friend. Let me encourage you. David and Kim will do the same. Give him total control, because when he's in charge, all is well. God bless you.